Hey, business builders, my name is Chandler Lyles, and today's episode is brought to you by my new company that I'm trying to build right alongside you, High Beam Marketing. If you're tired of wasting money on advertising that doesn't work, reach out to us. We use modern-day digital marketing techniques to drive results that matter most to your business. Enough with the ads. We've paid the bills. Let's jump into today's episode with Joe Strada, the founder of Unleashed Strength. Joe, thanks for joining us, man. Welcome into the show.
Thank you so much, Chandler. Excited to be here, man.
Yeah, so you and I have like sort of met each other through TikTok. I'm obsessed with that app, and like you've really blown up on there, man. It's been cool to watch you really go out the last 2 months.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's I'd say, you know, blowing up is relative compared to the action we've seen on other social media platforms. Yes, we're up to what, like 21, almost 22,000 followers on TikTok. So it's, I mean, again, it feels like everyone has a million followers on TikTok, but relative to the exposure that we've had, like I said, on Instagram and Facebook, the amount of exposure we've had on TikTok has been amazing and been really exciting. And the overall just eyes on and attention that we've been able to gather there has been really, really cool.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of nerd you are, but I'm a big Star Wars fan. And there's this line in the first Star Wars where they say there's always a bigger fish. So there's always going to be some Kardashian with more followers than you, man. There's nothing you can do about that.
Bigger TikToker.
But there's always a bigger TikToker, man. So let's jump back to the beginning, man. Where are you from originally, way back in the day?
Sure. So I'm in Northern Virginia now. I've been in Northern Virginia almost my whole life, actually, besides college and a couple of years after that. So born and raised in Fairfax and Manassas, basically. Went to Virginia Tech for school for 4 years to be an engineer. Did that for a few years. Worked down at the shipyard as just a general facilities engineer for a couple of years. Honestly hated it. Came up and did some construction back in Northern Virginia because that's where both myself and my wife, our families have been up here. We were born and raised here. So, you know, once we had a baby and wanted to be back with the grandparents and all that kind of stuff, we were up here every other weekend anyway. So it was time to move back up. Construction for a couple of years, then another project management gig until we were able to start the gym. But yeah, honestly, just realized pretty quickly that normal day-to-day office life, you know, project management was just not what I wanted to do. Even just the engineering, you know, I love math and data and all that good stuff, but I was not about to spend, you know, my career, you know, behind a desk or doing something that I hated. So, you know, we're able to garner the resources and go all in on this, on the gym. And so far it's been paying off, man.
I love it. I wish you guys were open. I used to be in the Air Force 2010 to 2014, and I was stationed at Andrews Air Force Base in Bowling there in D.C. So I was right there kind of next to you. I would have loved to have had that gym. The base gym was nice, but, you know, I've seen your gym on the internet. It's a little nicer.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, we've got some people who they'll travel for it for sure. It's always very humbling. It's still weird for me to hear when people give us nice, you know, have good things to say about the gym. And you know, I've had people come up to me afterwards and, man, this is the nicest gym I've ever been to kind of thing. And I'm like, and I know it's almost funny to me because it sounds like hyperbolic because it's like, you know, we don't have the fanciest equipment. We don't have the, you know, all the new state-of-the-art crazy stuff, but it's just, we've been able to build good on the foundations. And then I think just the community atmosphere really sets the tone for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, that thing's like your baby. So when somebody comes in and says some nice things about it, it's great. And then also when they maybe write some bad things on the internet, I don't know about you, but it always aggravates the crap out of me.
Defensive, you know, we haven't had too much public complaining. We've had some, you know, I get some emails every once in a while. And, you know, one thing I've really realized, and this is kind of, you know, here's a business nugget, is that really, really realized, I got this from Gary Vaynerchuk as well. He says it, but you can't sell the unsellable. Don't waste your time on those people that have already made up their mind that this is not for them. And it's really helped me deal with people that, you know, have nothing but complaints to give you. And, you know, why spend your energy and time and emotional capacity trying to convince this person this is what you need when they've already made up their mind that is not what they want. There are plenty of people that want what you are offering. So go find them, spend that energy tracking down those people, because those are the easy sells, instead of wasting all that time. So
don't sell the unsellable, man. You're going to spend a lot of energy chasing down the wrong people. So So before we get into the gym part of it, were you an entrepreneur at all when you were younger, or like it sounds like you went the school route and then traditional employment?
I'm trying to think what it was. I mean, I've always kind of had, I don't know, I guess a little bit of spark. There was always like ideas of like making inventions, or that I was on an engineering kind of mindset for a while. With my dad was an engineer. He was aerospace engineer, doctorate degree, military, aerospace, all that kind of stuff. So it was like, it's kind of, I had the math part as well. So it was kind of just like, oh, I guess, that's kind of what you do. You go get a good engineering degree. And I had been pretty strongly considering the military life, myself being from a military family, and a couple options in that route that I really, really wanted to pursue for a while. Didn't quite work out during college, and after college, I was considering it pretty strongly. But just as I got married pretty relatively young, a year out of college, and then, baby number one came, and more I realized that I didn't want to pursue that just because that wasn't the family life that we had been, looking for. So, and I knew I wasn't up for the challenge of leaving, my family for months and months and months at a time, especially for the positions that I wanted to pursue. It would have been very difficult. So, decided to, figure something else out. And kind of remember that decision day though, that kind of told my wife, like, all right, I'm not gonna, I knew she didn't want it. She didn't want the military life, and I wanted it, but I also didn't. It was kind of this really big, this battle that we were trying to figure out. I said, all right, if I'm not going to the military, I'm going to open a gym one day.
Oh, that's
She's like,
awesome.
okay,
Well, you got a
fine.
great beard, so you would have had to got rid of that in the
I
military, you know. Yeah, yours connects right here where mine doesn't, and that's I'm gonna forever be jealous of you.
had that gap for a while for sure, so.
Yeah, all right, there's hope for me. That you're such a nice guy. Thank you. All right, you're a solid trainer, I think. You're training my beard up over here. I love it. So
I
what
thought
so
it was all
you so you eventually want to get into owning a gym, and
yeah.
I love that. So what's in your mind thinking, like, I want to own a gym? Like, what problem were you hoping to solve that hadn't already been solved by the 100 million other gyms that are out there in the world?
Sure. So when I had said that, I'm trying to think of like my progression of like getting into lifting itself and why, what was the passion there. I started working out my freshman year of high school, pretty seriously. Like, that didn't know what I was doing, but I got a weight bench for Christmas, and like, and immediately I went ham. I was like into it, and I'm like really proud of my high school self looking back. Like, I kind of, definitely like, had the weightlifting gloves, all the stuff that I would have made fun of myself, I would make fun of now, but I'm like looking back, it's like, it was really cool. I had a lot of energy. I had a lot of like determination to get strong and make physical improvements. And I was really into sports. I played basketball, played soccer, ran cross country and track and all that kind of stuff. So I was like very active, and I knew that if I was going to start lifting and working out, these would make direct impacts on the games that I was playing. And it did for sure. Like, even basketball, the difference between my freshman year and my senior year, just because I was able to put on a good amount of muscle, a good amount of strength, and just confidence and all that kind of stuff. It was the single most important, determining factor in how well I was gonna play, basically, and how much of an impact I could make on the court. So I really fell in love with lifting. I was always trying to encourage my friends to do it with me and get into it and just like get stronger. It takes work, but at the same time, you can get a lot of. It takes a lot of work, but it also doesn't take a lot of work. If you do something, you'll make progress, and that's what's like so cool, especially starting out early. So I really fell in love with that kind of idea that I could work hard, see results, and make improvements. And even, like I said, I thought I kind of knew what I was doing, but I was always this learning process, and I was very hungry to learn. I was always doing research and reading, men's health magazines and bodybuilding.com and whatever I could get my hands on to try to like learn more and more, YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of like definitely sparked it. And then once I went to Virginia Tech, my dream was to walk on the football team, which didn't happen. But I tried out 3 times, and all we did was,
Was that Coach Beamer?
yeah, he was when Beamer was there. And it was literally just run the 40, run the shuttle, and that was about it. They did this box drill, just watch him move kind of thing. So it was like, unless you were blazing fast, like you wouldn't even get a shot to like for the next round kind of thing. And it just, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just is extremely difficult. So I ended up actually on the cheer team at Virginia Tech, which was super cool. And so I got to meet a lot of cool guys and girls. We had a lot of fun. We traveled the country. We competed on our own, and something I never imagined myself doing. But I was just kind of open to it, and I enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. Made a lot of really good friends, and we actually had access to a gorgeous weight room, which was really cool. And so that actually kind of helps, continue to spur on my like athletic training there too. We had trainers. One of my trainers in particular, I remember learning a lot from. This big guy was pulling 600, and I was like, wow, that's like, in my mind at that point, I was just like, that was astronomical number and huge dude. And like, I want to be like you, and learned a lot from him. So it was like really cool to start seeing that and getting into it with my buddies there. And we all got to go kind of rally around lifting for a while too. So that kind of helped spur that on after school. Got into a little bit of powerlifting, just try to meet, again, not putting up anything crazy, but just like got into the competitive scene a little bit of powerlifting. Thought it was really cool. Tried a strongman competition, just got into lifting in general, and really realized all the benefits it was having on like my life over just the confidence. Again, the direct results of I work hard, I get results. And it was really cool to see that input output. And then, learning patience, learning discipline, this kind of like overall self-development was really, really cool too. Like cool, side aspect of that too. So as I figured, I want to share this with other people for one thing, which I just know is nothing new. But also a few of the gyms that I'd been to that like really stuck out to me had made an impact on me, where it's like I felt the equipment was good, the atmosphere was good, the environment and community were good, and I was able to kind of pick those good elements of various gyms and then see all the problems with like other gyms and the commercial scene. Especially just being very much business oriented and not really more of just, you go to the gym to check it off your bucket, check it off your to-do list versus like going to enjoy it. Lifting was something that I enjoyed, and I wanted more people to enjoy their time at the place they were going to spend, an hour or two at. Why should you hate that time, and why should that be just something to check off? It shouldn't be something you hate, right? And so that was kind of all these things in my head of like, let's build a brand, build a business, build a place where people can come, work out, get stronger, and become better people in general too, and enjoy that whole process. So that was kind of what I was,
Yeah, I
I'd
love that. Sounds
inspired that.
like it's a community where fitness is the thing that maybe binds us all together, but we're all here to watch each other get better and grow, and it's really that community of improvement aspect. I really like that, man. I don't think you get that necessarily with a big box gym. Those guys, they run their business models. I mean, it's fine that they do it, but they basically run their business models on get as many members as possible and then hope none of them show up, which is kind of weird when you think about it. It's like, why would you hope your people don't show up, and it's this whole thing. So
No, I
that
hate it. Unfortunately, that's part of the reality of the gym business, I guess, is, we have people that don't come to the gym and still pay, and that's just how the gym business works. That I thought I don't want them to come, but then it's also kind of hard because if everyone showed up, it'd be really crowded all the time. So it's a funny thing, but at the end of the day, you pay for the access to the gym, and we try to provide value beyond. Beyond just coming to the gym to work out, we try to hopefully teach people and build a community. We have events and that kind of thing. And I also find that a lot of people still don't cancel their membership, even though they don't come, because they still want to support us, which is really cool. And I know a lot of people just do that, and that's obviously super appreciated. And yeah, so I mean, it's just
So
part of the.
when you had the idea for this gym, like it kind of becomes this like, maybe I'll do it one day, maybe not, and then it sort of solidifies in your mind, right? That's kind of how I see it. It becomes like a, I'm actually going to take this idea and put it out in the marketplace and actually try to start saving money up and looking and really getting into the flow. Did you ever have like right before you started, did you ever have that imposter syndrome where you're like, this isn't going to work, I'm not going to make it, I'm not good enough, anything like that?
Yes and no. It was kind of weird, like maybe like later down the road, because like initially it was so far off when we started preparing for it. It was like it wasn't even a reality, I guess. So it was like I started collecting equipment like 3 years before, 3 or 3.5 years before we opened. So I was like,
Wow.
basically, I have a video in my car, dark, terrible quality video. I was just like 30-second, like, hey, I just picked up, 400 pounds of weights, and I never didn't use any of those weights. So I ended up reselling them to get new weights anyway. But it was like my kind of that monumental pickup, that initial. It's like, sometime it's funny looking at my timelines. That was 2016, I think, and I was like, yeah, 2017 coming soon. Gym, gym within the next year, whatever. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was kind of just this future target that I was like, I'm gonna start collecting equipment now. I don't know when it's gonna happen. I don't know how it's gonna happen exactly. But it's going to, and I might as well start trying. And so we had set up our little Instagram account, set up our Facebook, and just like started kind of just trying to start the ball rolling, basically. And so that's kind of, another piece of advice I'd say for people looking to start something is like just start now, because you never know when it's going to happen. And the more you kind of open yourself to opportunities, the better off you are in the long run. And it's kind of like the more opportunities you take, the more shots you take, right? So I was kind of just, I'm gonna start looking for equipment, see what pieces roll up. And again, there's plenty of pieces that I picked up and resold, and some pieces I lost money on, whatever. But also some pieces that I got that were incredible deals that I ended up making money off of, or just like are sitting in our gym now. We have a 8-stack Body Masters, 2 lat pull downs, 2 seated rows, cable crossovers, tricep push downs. I mean, that thing is like new, $12,000, $14,000 probably. Used, you're lucky to get that for $7,000 or $8,000. I got it delivered for 1,200 to my house. Like,
Wow.
so it was just being, and that was, like probably at least a year out before we even opened. So it's like, it was sitting in my garage for a year, but at the same time, we saved so much money, and there were so many of those pieces like that we really cut the cost down so much for opening. So just kind of getting that ball rolling and having this like, it was a future target, but I was preparing for it too. So,
That's so cool. It's like you almost imposed your will on the marketplace before you had the leverage or the finances to actually do it. There's this thing. This is like redneck psychology here. I dabble in it. It's like it's called like the reticular activating system or something like that, where it's essentially like when you hear people talk about manifesting things, right? You set a goal, and it sort of starts to work out for you as long as you keep reading the goal and doing little steps towards it. And basically, what happens is your mind just starts looking for all the dots that would possibly connect to that desired future out in the distance that you can't really even see. And so you can see that play out in your story even where you go, okay, 4 years early, 3 years early, we're gonna just start buying equipment. Like, and we're gonna set up an Instagram page and a Facebook stage. And they seem like such small, embarrassingly small steps. Like you're not having a big ribbon cutting ceremony at that time. It's just like we want to do this thing in the future. We can't yet, but we will someday. And so how do you keep the faith during that 3 year period when you're really kind of going through the wilderness waiting on the big ribbon cutting ceremony?
I mean, there was definitely, to be cheesy, there was definitely that like visualization of like, one day we're gonna have this, and one day, and also like being in a position enough to know that like what you want and like what you're willing to do for it, because like it was a terrifyingly big risk for sure. And there's like this, it's gonna be a big deal once it comes to that kind of thing. And so it was, again, it was start getting these little things in motion so that when it was time to make a bigger decision, it was like the decision was already made almost. You don't have to, it's kind of like you don't need to jump off the cliff. You've been taking steps down this whole time. So that's what I feel like that kind of helped make it. So it's like by the time we got to the point where it's like, all right, I'm putting a name, my signature on a piece of paper, on a contract, on a lease, basically. It was like kind of just the natural next step at that point. But as far as like, keeping that motivation and stuff, it was, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Like I said, I think just continuing to like to realize what you're trying to get. I was very unhappy doing what I was doing work-wise. My life, I can't complain, and I feel, almost a little spoiled to complain too much about it, because, married, happily married with, you
Great
know,
beard.
kid with a great beard. No, and we had a beautiful, we bought a condo down in Woodbridge over a great deal. It was, you know, big house, like had like, well, you know, in, near family and everything. So it was a good life, but I also was like so unfulfilled and unsatisfied with what I was doing and work-wise. And I really advocate for people to not get stuck in that rut of some people get so trapped in like this career path driven mind kind of thing. And I think the whole way people look at careers and jobs, a lot of times is very wrong and is something you have to be working in something that if you're enjoying what you're doing, it's not work or something. It's not right. And it's like, no, it's like you're spending so much of your time. I mean, it was, you know, at least a 40-hour work week plus, you know, I was in traffic, you know, to and from construction sites and working with people that, you know, the people were fine, I guess, whatever, but doing menial tasks that I hated and didn't feel, you know, connected to or whatever. It's like, why am I really gonna spend the rest of my life doing this? So I feel like that, and this comes on the priorities, I guess. To me, the money and that kind of stuff, that doesn't matter as much to me. And it's easier, I guess it's easier to say, you know, if you are set up, if you have a good, you know, environment. But at the same time, like, I'd much rather make less money, much rather be working harder, doing what I enjoy doing and doing what I want to do, and being more mentally in a better spot, being just happier in general. We downsized. I live in a, you know, a 1100 square foot apartment that I downsized from a 2500 square foot townhome. You know, because we had to, money wise and convenience wise and all that kind of stuff. So, to me, that is weighing your priorities too. I think that kind of helps keep your like priorities straight and like focused on like, what's my end goal here? And what do I really want out of life and out of work and out of a career?
I love that you didn't get stuck in golden handcuffs, I think is what they call it. And I think it was, go ahead.
Well, I get mad. I talked to a couple of my friends who just get, who I can tell that they are, and they w are so worried about what other people are going to think about if they don't have the house with the white picket fence. I'm like, you need to stop thinking about that mindset. I don't care. I'm still going to be your friend. If you don't have a big house with a big yard, your kids are going to forgive you if you live in an apartment for a couple more years while you do a job that makes you happier and you take a pay cut or like,
Preach.
or kind of give like this mind that, you know, I find people giving arbitrary timelines. So they'll say, I'm in this job, I just took this job, and they'll tell me all the things they hate about it and that they're not making enough money and that they don't like what they do. And like, well, then go find another job. There's some, you know, go start putting your app, at least send your resume out, right? At least apply to other places. Well, I told myself I'd give myself a year or 2 years. Right? Why? You're not happy. Like, you know, just, you don't hard, you know, hard hold yourself to these arbitrary lumps, the standards and timelines, and your mental health and your happiness, I think, matter too much to do that.
You're like in the gym world, you probably hear people all the time like, oh, I'll lose weight January 1, I'm gonna change this year. Like January 1 has some sort of magical, mystical thing, even though that's like your all's like big season, I'm sure. But like what's the difference in January 1 and 2 days from now?
Much just do it now. Just at least trying, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's back to what you were just talking about. Like you have to create this fuzzy vision in the future of like, what do I kind of want my life to look like in a few years, right? Like you talked about community and changing people's lives and coaching and fitness, and you were like, I don't know how exactly we're going to do that. I think it might be a gym in a 4,000 square foot building. Like it might be there. Like I don't know. Like, but we're going to take steps to move towards it. Like you didn't wait 2 years to open an Instagram account, and I love that. I think that's really good advice for anybody that's got a wantrepreneur in them and they need to actually become that entrepreneur. Like, take the step.
And then you can, it also gives it yourself a testing ground where it's like, do I enjoy this? You know, is this what I wanted? Is it like, because it's kind of one of those things like on TikTok. TikTok, is not, I love it because it's given me more satisfaction for what I create because it's hard to continue to create pieces of content that only get a couple of views. And that was what I was experiencing on Instagram and, but, you know, Facebook and just the saturation of the market.
You got to pay to play on those now.
it's so it was hard. And but at the same time, it's kind of one of those things. If I didn't, you never know what the next piece of content will do. And so it's being okay with. I mean, I'm assuming it's kind of like when you were starting up your podcast, right? Knowing the first episode, most likely you're not going to get a lot of listens just because you don't have the audience yet, right? And it might take, however, I'm sorry, I'm not sure how many episodes you have or whatever, but like you don't know how many episodes are going to take before you get the audience. And but every if you don't keep doing the ones that no one listens to, you'll never get to the ones that people will listen to, right? And so you have to be okay with continuing to put out content and put out information or trying to sell without any return. And that's kind of this like weird irony of it. You never know. And it's kind of like, for example, like a more specific example, like all the places that we were looking for to actually open the gym. We looked at hundred between going to visit in person and just looking online. I mean, hundreds of different locations, and wanting to having to take the time to go drive to visit one of them, knowing that it was most likely not going to be the right one, but theoretically it could be, but know when the next one that one will show up. And if you didn't spend all your time going to all the 100 that didn't work, you wouldn't have got to the 101st that did work, right? So it's this interesting paradox kind of.
Could you apply the analogy of lifting weights and getting stronger? It's never the one push-up that gives you the defined chest, right? It's the rep after rep after rep after day after day after day that eventually, at some point, you just are in shape and it looks a lot different than it did 6 months ago.
I can, there's definitely similarities there, and knowing, yeah, it's not the one workout, and even knowing there's gonna you're gonna go into some workouts and take a step backwards, and not really, but you're gonna go in and do worse than you did the week before sometimes. That's just how your body works. That's how progression works. Sometimes you take two steps back, and so there's kind of an aspect of like resilience that you have to like prove to yourself too. And so, sometimes it's good to just start doing that and seeing, do I like this? And looking back, I'm glad I did it. I'm also like, man, I should have done more. You should, there's always things that like I could have done more. But at the same time, just doing something at least gets the ball rolling.
But that's so hard. Like hindsight's 2020. You never know, you never know until you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm the dumbest person ever for not knowing how to do this. And it's like it's almost like you have to pay the price of time to get the wisdom. Or you have to have a podcast like this where you get to piggyback other people's ideas and be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to do it that way now.
And that's kind of like, people like the whole, I've always had an analogy, same thing of like the experience of time when like people look too much for the shortcuts. Like a lot of times, like shortcuts will get you to a position, somewhat quickly in a way. But at the same time, then you lose all the experience, the valuable experience that would have got you there, and made you successful in the first place. So it's like
Yeah, oh,
winning
we
the.
see that in the world. Like, you look at lottery winners, what is it? 75% of lottery winners are broke or bankrupt within 4 years. It's because they never built the tools necessary to maintain that sort of wealth. It's somebody that gets liposuction or some other sort of fat loss thing. They try to take a shortcut to get to where they try to take that shortcut to that fuzzy vision. And A, they don't even know if that's the right vision, because I'm sure your vision's changed since you started 4 years ago. And also, like, you don't know what it takes to maintain that vision. And that 4 year period before you guys cut the ribbon, was you defining the vision and building the muscles necessary to sustain it once you did sign on the line and take the really big risk, right?
Sure. No, I definitely agree. No, the lottery examples is so clutch. You all that experience of what it took, the skills to build the wealth. Now you can't keep the wealth,
Exactly. So I know a lot of business owners, and they're usually really good at the thing, the barbecue in my case, or the gym in your case, like fitness. But then you sort of open this business, and now all of a sudden it's not just about the thing. It's now about sales and marketing and branding and making TikToks. And now I got a bunch of trainers I got to lead, and I got customer service, and I've got taxes, and God forbid the health department or whatever. So what's that been like? Like, having to learn how to manage a business and maintain the passion for the thing, like the reason you started it.
Right. It's been cool. It's been hard. I wear a ton of different hats, and that's I mean, we really technically haven't hired anybody. I mean, my wife is still technically the owner of the gym, and I'm at the gym running it kind of thing. And other than that, I'll have volunteers. I'll do tit for tat kind of thing, like, can you cover the gym for me on Sunday kind of thing, just to, for a while it was, I mean, it was every day for 7 months. For the first 7 months, I was working full time elsewhere, at my project management job, trying to hide the fact that I was running a gym from my.
Wait, hold on. How did that go?
Oh, just like thinking about it gives me PTSD on that. Oh my gosh. Just the amount of, and don't say it lightly. I feel bad saying that sometimes. I'm like, I know people have serious cases of PTSD and trauma and everything, but that was such a stressful part of like my life that I do get like, relapses into this like moment time of like horrific, overwhelming stress. But it was a hell of a learning experience. So yeah, I was working at a job that was supposed to be fully remote. It was sold to me by a sales guy, of course. That like, no, this job would be great. You won't have to be able to work fully from home. And I was like, listen, I was straight up with him. Like, I'm trying to open a gym. Like, is this gonna work? And he's like, yeah, it'll be fine. We just won't tell. Don't let it get up to your boss who's working, in Canada kind of thing. So like, you're remote, you'll be good. And I was able to kind of hold off for a while, but eventually it just, came through. And you say, you can't be working at home. You got to go into the office. So I'd go into the office while my wife went into the gym. So that was that whole level of like, stress on that. And, and then me feeling guilty for making my wife do cover for me for my dream and all this stuff. So that was a whole fun time.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too. What? Oh, wait, go ahead. I want to hear.
So there's this one like peak. I remember like I it was not a breaking point because I still had the whole more months of it to go, but it was, I remember like the climax of it all was like, it was a couple of them, but the one I like to think about, don't like to think about, is I was on a phone, a Skype call, giving a presentation to the whole executive meeting, the whole executive board basically of my company. This like project I was had to explain. I'm in the back room at the gym. It's like 5 or 6 o'clock because they're at 2 hours behind at night. So like the gym's bumping at that point. The music's on. I'm trying to like hide the music. So they're like, who's where's that music coming from? Who's on that? Who's that? Whatever. And of course it's me. It's the middle of winter. So I go out back, and they see me mute my phone, my microphone. So they're like, oh, I guess we know who that is. And so I went out back. I'm outside in the back in like 30 degree weather without a coat, trying to give this presentation and hide the fact I'm at the gym to my executive team. And then I get a text from my client who I'm supposed to start training, like, oh, I'm here. So I'm like 10 minutes late to my client, training client who's inside. I'm trying to finish. It was just like this whole, I can't do this anymore.
How much
So
longer after that until you went full time at the gym?
it was still a couple months. That was like the early winter. And then I ended up staying on the position until the end of February, and they let me go at that point. So we were kind of like balancing, like, do we go all in? We moved in with my in-laws, to save money, to be closer to the gym, have help with the and everything. And then we're like, all right, we're getting ready to make the transition all in. We weren't quite ready, and then I lost my job. So then we were ready. So then we're like, all right, I guess we're going. And then that was end of February. And then I was full time for about a month and a half, and then the governor closed our gym for 2 months.
Oh my
So
gosh, what was that like? You finally went full time and then lock
wild.
it down.
So that was sad. We were able to, get on unemployment, which helped obviously a lot. And then just to kind of speak to the quality of the people that we have at our gym, we had like 80% of our members still paying in full for those couple months. We were like,
That's
jokingly
amazing.
threatening me that if you don't charge me for this month, I'm quitting kind of thing. Like,
Oh, that's cool.
so it was super cool. We made it on like the Washington Post for that. Like, we had, it kind of went mini viral on that, which was really cool. Just because love, and just we were so appreciative to have that kind of support rally behind us. Because, never, look, we if we don't pay you, we're not gonna have a gym to come back to kind of mindset. And like, So yeah, we're super, appreciative of that kind of community and support. And we try to do our best to kind of give that right back and
Yeah.
open back up in May. I think it was May or June, I forget. But we were closed for about 2 months and then opened back up. And honestly, it's been like a really strong climb ever since. We've since like more than doubled our memberships
Wow.
and yeah, we're pushing about 400 members now. So.
There's a couple of things that people should take away from this. One, you when you started this thing, the idea in your head, it was this community aspect. And then when this crazy catastrophe struck the world, like it was the community aspect, the value of community that you built the company on that you were able to stand on. And I think had you not had that, like I doubt Gold's Gym had the same sort of loyalty, you know?
No, I highly doubt that. Well, everyone
Yeah.
was mad at their gyms. I remember people specifically telling me about them being angry at how their gyms all handled their kind of shutdowns and their restrictions and stuff. And we were trying to be very open and upfront about it. And we're like, here's your options. Pay. We'd obviously super appreciate paying in full, but if you need to freeze your account, you need to or whatever, please we'll do a free freeze or a freeze for $10 just if you want to support a little bit. I got that from a friend of mine who owns a gym, who owns Iron Asylum down in Virginia Beach. They own a couple really cool gyms down there, and they've always been like a gym that I wanted to emulate in how they set up and everything. And so he had posted, here's what we're doing for the shutdowns, let us know. And so I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah.
So and everyone was just like, no, we're paying basically. So that was really cool.
You just hit on something. Best practices. There's nothing wrong with looking at other people in the marketplace and going, okay, this is working for them. What can I take and put my little spin on it and make it work for us too? I mean, I think people want to be original sometimes and they have to. I'm an entrepreneur, I'm creative, I got to have all these unique one-off ideas. But like, what if you just took 80% of the thing that already worked and tweaked it 20%? And now you've got
Absolutely.
your unique original brand.
Right. Well, and as you see that a lot, and like to bring it back to lifting again, all the personal trainers where everyone wants to be creative and come up with a new exercise and, single leg, BOSU ball, upside down, pin pressing. Like, just like, you don't need to do that. You need to, learn how to do some basic movements and get really good at that. And you start building off of that, but not, you don't need to get fancy. You need to get good on the basics and you don't have to be forced to be super innovative, I guess.
The other thing I really love is that you have this discipline, A to B in fitness, I think you have to be disciplined, but you applied it to your business model as well because you took 4 years to build slowly to get your income at the gym, a little closer to your personal income from the job. And, even if you didn't get it all the way there, it wasn't as big of a jump down or across that gap. And so you didn't land as hard. I remember when I left the Air Force, I literally left to make less than $10,000 selling barbecue my first year. And, I was younger. I didn't have family responsibilities yet, so I could be a little stupid. But it was so dumb. I should have never done it that way. I much rather would have done it the way you did it. So, I mean, anybody out there that has a business idea, we want to remind you that you have more time than you think you do. And I don't know what you're in a hurry for. There is no race. Like, I watched way too many like videos or Shark Tank things or like that kind of like VC venture capital culture where they're like, you got to scale, you got to go bigger, faster, da 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 da. And I'm a competitive guy, probably like you are, and I'm like, I'm smart, I can figure out how to scale fast. And like I thought that was what winning was. And to me, being in business, winning is serving customers and growing month over month and just being consistently better today than you were yesterday. Where does the need for hurrying up come from?
Right. And I mean, enjoying it and enjoying the process. And I think it's so important to like find your priorities too. Like we wouldn't have been able to do this and go full time. I mean, at all, I don't think, if we didn't sell our house. So like that was an extremely difficult like decision. We had it for 2 years. It was our first like purchase, big purchase as a family. And like, we loved it. We loved our everything. It was a great deal. It was going to be, we looked at the price of the value of what it would be now. I was like, oh, we shouldn't have seen that. Like up another like $200,000 in the past couple of years because of the bubble right now. It's like,
Yeah.
don't look back, don't look back. We had to do
Don't
it.
do it. Don't do that to yourself, man.
So at that point is like, would you be, asking yourself that question, like, could you do that? Could you kind of basically get, what are your priorities? It comes down to that basically. Like I was happy to do that because I wanted the gym and I wanted to get out of my job. And I hated what I was doing and I wanted to pursue what I loved. And my wife was on board with it. She wanted the simplicity. She was, you know, we were good to downsize and it was hard. But if we didn't do that, if we didn't kind of basically give up that whole thing that we had built and go, you know, gone back to live with my in-laws, like you talk about not wanting to, you know, I don't care what people think. It doesn't matter what people are going to say or whatever. And it's not like we were super judged for it. I don't care about that, but I don't think we were. But at the same time, it's like, there's always those mindsets. Oh, what people think about me is, am I successful in the eyes of the world? It's like, the sooner you get away from that and like figure out what your priorities are, the better, because sometimes you might have to make those bigger decisions to make it work for you. But if you want it, you know, you got to do it too.
Yeah. So you're sitting here a couple years past the grinding and like you're actually in the game now, building the thing a little more quickly than before. You know, you got a brick and mortar space. What is the best part of being at this stage of owning your business?
Honestly, like I try to just enjoy it. Anything like I'm right now, I'm at the gym 6 days a week, which, you know, 6 days a week of work is like tough, but for me, I'm not, you know, it's cliche, not working, whatever, but yeah. And a lot of people have underestimated too. And like, oh, you're so lucky. You get to just own the gym and just like get to hang out all day. It's like, you know, to an extent, there are days that are not very busy and there's not a lot that I need to get done. A lot of it's on my own time and how hard I want to work if I'm not feeling up to it. I have that, a little bit of that luxury, and we've kind of been able to make that, but create that from, you know, the past couple of years. And now we're at a point where we can coast sometimes and I can push it when I want to and that kind of thing. So having that flexibility and just having that, the kind of the peace of knowing that we're like, all right, we're making money, we're being sick, we're at a successful point, and I know, you know, 99% sure that we're going to be just fine kind of thing. You know, I think being at that level of like, having that safety and security, I think, is like a huge deal. Having the flexibility and this and being able to kind of just enjoy it now is huge. And just being able to say like, I'm very happy with how things are right now. It's like, yeah, like we don't have a big house, we don't have fancy cars, whatever, but I have everything that I currently need. And I mean, we have our family. I get to see them every night and every morning. I live down the street from my job. I live down the street from my parents and my wife's parents. And so we've kind of set up what, you know, we've made lots of choices to get to this point and lots of difficult decisions and worked very hard at this point, but I'm just at a very like peaceful and secure point, I guess, in this job now. And there's plenty. And then like, it's also very exciting though for me to look forward and know that there's a lot of growth and building ahead as well. So kind of this, very happy with where we are and very excited for where we're going. It's kind of how I would sum it up.
That's awesome. Enjoying the ride. I love that.
Absolutely, man.
So what are the big problems you're trying to solve in the next 12 months? Like, what are you seeing over the next 12, 18 months that you're like, we got to get this done to get this business to the next level?
Sure. So one thing I know I do need to get better at, like the marketing aspect of things. It's kind of funny, like, sometimes the more you just kind of treat or organically enthusiastic about your business, the less you have to really like, you don't have to sell it. I'm not a very good salesman, but I am able to genuinely just express why I think this gym is the right, you know, for somebody and kind of build the community atmosphere that, you know, the sales come. So I could get better at sales, but I think the branding is what I like to build more of. And then that does the selling for me. So I guess there's, you know, marketing and that kind of thing that I could get better at. But for me, I like the physical, like building of stuff. So what I'm excited for is kind of, we have like this 3-phase growth thing. I'm not sure. I had posted a little video on it on TikTok and Instagram, but just kind of like explaining the next 3 steps that we're taking to kind of get more space and create more space at the gym. Because right now a bunch of the kids went back to school, so we like froze all their memberships basically. So we have some a little more breathing room, but once they all come back for like winter and then next summer, assuming we keep growing as well, it'll start getting a little cozy. So we're trying to figure out how to create more space so we can, without taking on more lease and more like monthly. So, right now we're kind of in the process of, I got an extra room that used to be, it's like my It was my office, but it was just basically storage for apparel, for drinks, a dumping ground for whatever. And so we're getting rid of that. So I've been like hassling, trying to like figure out how to where else to put all this extra crap now. So that room's coming down, which is going to give us another 200 square feet. I got some like couple ramps that are very unnecessary that are in the gym. Those are coming out in the next couple weeks, hopefully. So that's going to give us total is about a 400 square feet between the ramps and the room. So that's like going to be really nice, like open the gym up a little bit. And then within the next year or so, the landlord has offered to like build us some more space actually attached to our building. So that's going to be 100 square feet with like a big garage door opening and stuff. So I'm excited about that. That's down the road. That's kind of phase two. And then phase three will be another like 2 years or so. We're hoping to take over the spot next to us as well, which is the cleaners. There's a laundromat right next door to us. So
Yeah. I
your lease
remember
is
I've been
a couple.
following you for a while, and I remember there's like a there's like the dry cleaner, and then I think like Chinese restaurant and maybe a barbecue restaurant right there. And like I remember watching that video and immediately starting to root for, and it's kind of bad maybe, but I was like, I'm on your Joe side. I'm like, hey, it's like it's time to it's like those board games, you just knock out the territories next to you. I'm like, yeah, you might as well just take over that whole big giant shopping complex. Just get after it.
Aim would be to have all of it, and that's kind of one of those things where it's like, back to kind of not rushing into things too, where it's like, how do we do this and manage risk and manage like we're at a point where like, all right, we're making comfortable money that we can invest, can pay ourselves, and we can also invest into the gym and grow. But you can leave the door open and go back in bed. All right.
That's actually a nice segue right there. I got a question. So you're doing all this, you and your wife. What was your wife's name again? I'm sorry.
Margot.
Margo.
Well,
Yeah, you and Margo. Do
she's
what?
Margaret, but she goes by Margo now. It's her like new nickname, so I might
Hey.
still get this stuff. But Margo, yeah.
Hey, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm going to say whatever you tell me to say. So you and Margo and your family business now, and you've got a young family. Like, is it hard to chase your entrepreneurial dreams and balance family, or is it so integrated between the two things that you guys just find a way to make it work?
So I'd say we've made it manageable. And so it's funny because you'll hear a lot of people just say like attribute success or like certain situations you are into like being lucky or to being all chance kind of thing. And granted, there's a lot of blessings that we've come across for sure to make this all happen. We've also just made lots of decisions to make things easier for us, if that makes sense, as well. And just like lots of little good decisions make up for better situations in general. It just goes for anything in life. So I would say yes, for running a business, a family business, and managing a small young family is definitely has its challenges. But so many of the little things that we've been able to do, we literally live down the street from the gym. So like if we lived half an hour away from the gym, that's an hour less of time that I would see my family every day. If the gym was not set up to be 24-hour gym, then I would have to be at the gym longer, or we'd be having to pay somebody to be there a lot more, whatever. So the gym is set up to be a 24-hour gym. So I'm only there 10 to 7, so it's a 9-hour day. It's not too bad. I see them in the morning. I'm able to see them at nighttime as well. The community that we built as well is I always feel safe knowing, like, I'm right down the street from the gym, so I'm like, anything emergency happens, I can get down there really quickly anyway. But I also basically at all times know that someone in the gym is keeping an eye on things for me. And I get texts from people still, my friends. I'm friends with everybody at the gym now at this point. Like, hey,
Well, you're there
is
all the time, so it makes sense.
right. Even like, 10 o'clock at night, someone might mention me like, hey, just want to let you know, is this guy good? This guy was saying something, whatever. Like, just check in on things. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's a member, he's good. I always know that people are keeping an eye on things. And so that's kind of a benefit too. So there's lots of like little things that have just allowed us to be like in a comfortable position. Like I said, close to the gym, no commute. My in-laws are down the street. My family's down the street, so they help us out with the kids sometimes. So just like, yes, there are definitely challenges, but I see them more now than I did when I was working elsewhere, I think, besides having to work on Saturdays. But
Yeah, that's awesome.
you know,
it's right back to the community aspect, man. I mean, everything you just listed off is like, yeah, there's challenges. There's this seesaw back and forth in this interview, which I love. It's like, yeah, we have challenges, but community tends to be the thing that helps us overcome it. And then there's some more challenges as we grow and scale. And then we've built this really great community and it's helped us overcome it. And so I think what another business owner can take away from this, really, if they only take one thing away, the thing I'm taking away is when you pick a core value, really make sure it's an important core value and build your company around it. Because to me, it's like the secret to your success of surviving this long is like you picked a core value early on and you just hammered on it and really you practice what you preach, right? You didn't just put it on a wall with like a fancy eagle over it that said community. Sure. It was like, we actually do things to build community here. And I love right. that.
People, I think, feel welcome. They feel a part of it. The amount of people that we've been able to show and help and guide. And then, you know, I love when people introduce each other and they meet each other. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed too is like people who might have like beef from other gyms or whatever, they'll come over to our gym. But like, and I get nervous. It's like, oh man, these two people don't like each other. Are they, what's going to happen? Whatever. It's going to be bad things. Is it going to, so whatever, like over 2 years now of opening the gym, I have never broken up a fight. I have never thrown anyone out of the gym. And they were canceled. They wanted to have to cancel anyone's membership for that kind of behavior. So like, I mean, and you're talking about a bunch of powerlifters and strongmen and heavy duty like hitters, then the fact that I've never had to do that, like, I feel like that speaks a lot to the people that are coming and then kind of the atmosphere that's been created. And that I think it kind of disarms these people and coming in, like, I don't have to show off. I don't have to be, you know, be the biggest guy in the space. I can just come in and work out and not worry about what people are thinking of me. And it's even when you see like the biggest people in our gym, like we literally have the strongest equipped bencher in the world at our gym, but he's also like one of the quietest, humblest guys there too. And he'll help anyone. He'll give anyone a lift off or anyone a spot if you ask him for it. And when you see the biggest people in the gym and the strongest people at the gym, who are also be the most humble and the kindest at the gym, it really sets the tone, I think, at the end of the day. And people feel like they can just kind of go right with it and hop right in, basically.
Was that the guy you trolled on TikTok the other day?
Yeah.
Was amazing. I laughed so hard at that video. I watched it like 4 or 5 times. Just his face was so good.
No, I love it. He probably gets annoyed with me because I'm messaging me like, Jimmy, I got a video for you. Will you help me with the video later? He's like, all right. So
It's cool that he's a good sport like that. So last question, man, and I'll let you get out of here. What is, if you could give a new guy one piece of advice that you know now and he's just starting out, like what is that one piece of advice you wish you knew when you first started that you've learned over the last couple of years?
Let's see. There's lots of good things to pick from. I mean, first of all, know that if you know, I think it's so important to like figure out your priorities and figure out what it is you're trying to get to, right? Because like your work effort, your input has to match what you're trying to get out. And I think a lot of people think they know what they want, but then when they're challenged with they start realizing it
Dude,
takes.
I remember I sat in the Air Force in the dining facility on Andrews Air Force Base. I was sitting with my buddy Thomas and he was like, you're going to leave and not take this signing bonus and go sell barbecue on the side of the road out of a tent. And I was like, yeah, I think I can open like 1,000 of these. Like I was going to be like the Chick-fil-A of barbecue, which is like, it's just dumb. Like that's cool for some people. But for me, when I was reflecting on it, we closed that business 2 years ago and I'm reflecting on that time in my life. Like what happened? And I was like, had I just opened 4 of them in Lexington, Kentucky, I would have had everything I wanted and I didn't need 1,000. And so you're so right.
No, for sure. And, it's another thing Gary Vee talks about is like the whole, like life, you know, normalized lifestyle businesses, right? Where everyone wants to be the next, Facebook and Uber and that kind of thing. And in my case, it'd be like, everyone wants to be the next Gymshark or everyone wants to be the next Golds or whatever. It's like, no, you don't need that. You need a business that's going to make you enough money that you can live and enjoy what you do. Now, I definitely have bigger ambitions, whatever, but you don't need to have these huge, I need to make a $10 million business. No, you just need to make, honestly, you need to make a $70,000 business, dollar business, or $80, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's almost like it's like a staircase. It's like, why don't you make a $100,000 business and then make a $200,000 business and then 300 and 400 and like slowly step it up. There's no need. I don't know why we glorify. I know why we glorify it, 'cause it's fun and fantastic. And it's like, oh, we went from 100K to 400K and like, look how great we are now. But I don't know. I think it's better in the long run if you, again, back to what we talked about earlier in the episode, you build those muscles a little bit at along and you just slowly work into those, that level of success, right?
Absolutely. Kind of matching, priorities, and then figuring out what your goal is, and then matching your work effort input to what you want, to what you're trying to get to. It's like, I think people like overcomplicate things. Like I said, don't these arbitrary standards, arbitrary timelines, whatever. Just start and see where it goes, and that, don't worry about what people kind of like, people's opinions of you kind of thing, and their kind of random ideas of what success is. That, to me, the sooner you get rid of that, whether you're working out at the gym, whether you're trying to start a business, whether you're trying to move up the company ladder, the sooner you get rid of those kind of like arbitrary metrics and how you're worrying about people think of you in that regard, I think the better. And then from a very practical business standpoint, like very little, very practical, keep your overhead low. I think, again, talking about timelines and getting too big too fast kind of thing, it's so easy, I think, to bite off more than you can chew. And even if you are like having this successful business and having, if we have a we have if our lease is $20,000 a month, it's great if I have 500, if I have 400 or 500 members, that doesn't pay the bills, though. That covers the rent, and I don't have any money left over, right? And then there's only so many people that I can fill in that space and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, if you bite off too much, more than you can chew, to me, it's always better to start off smaller. And obviously every situation is different. My thought, we had a gym down the street, opened up big, 20,000 square feet, huge, and they're successful. They're doing well and everything, but I know they were close to closing for a while. I know they were. I've heard tell that they were not feeling good about it for a little bit, because they're like, it was so much, it was so intense, it was so big. And they're like, do we have enough people to keep this open? And to me, we just started real small. We had, our little space, and it was still kind of expensive. That's the thing, like rent. And brick and mortar is expensive. So you take it's very easy to take off too much too quickly. And you kind of limit yourself in that growth, and you're just trying to barely make ends meet. And in this idea of, again, grandeur and everything, it's like, again, if you have a $1 million business but don't make any profit, you're not paying yourself anything. It's like, does it matter? Does it matter?
Yeah,
rather make a $100,000 business and make $20,000 profit at that point, so.
exactly. The SBA tells us that 50% of businesses will close within the first 5 years of opening, and they list cash flow problems or debt financing as the number one reasons why those businesses close. And that reflects what you're talking about, because you either took on too much debt as you opened the thing, or you didn't have enough revenue coming in to service all of your overhead from rent or whatever. So that's super wise, man. Thank you so much for coming on today. Joe, where can we find you on the internet, man? How can we support you?
Absolutely. So, website is unleashstrength.com. Everything's basically Unleash Strength. You don't have the second E, so it's UNLEASHD Strength.
Wait, hold on. You save so much. You're so cheap. You're saving money. You didn't pay for the second E. I love it.
It's apostrophe, shorten it up a little bit.
I love, I'm just messing with you, man.
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We have YouTube. I don't put a lot of effort into that anymore. I didn't get a lot of ROI. Is one of those things where it's like, I probably could and should, but it took a lot of work to get a video that would do 100 views, and then I would do a 10 second video and do 1 million views on TikTok. So I was like, I want to spend my time on TikTok. And then our website, unleashstrength.com, you can check us out, see what we're all about. First workout's always on us. So if anyone's in the area, Northern Virginia, Manassas Park, Virginia, come check us out and get a workout in. We love visitors, and it's a good atmosphere. And pretty much, I mean, I can't say this 100%, but pretty much like it's like 99% of people, when they're coming in, like PR their first workout. It's just, I can't tell you how many times it happens.
It's a magical gym, man. You got something in there. It's in the water.
Some will say fake weights, but I promise you they're not fake weights.
Fake weights. Oh my gosh. Well, Joe, man, I appreciate you so much. Everybody, thank y'all for listening. We'll see y'all next week.
Take care.